Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Real good, buddy of the show, Corey LaJoy. Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. The Rob Brown Show on the radio. It's the Fan Upstate. Rob Brown, the great Milonzo, and you rolling through another 4 hours of fun and shenanigans here on the radio program. Should you like to be a part of the show, you are welcome and encouraged to do so. 844-326-3663 is the number to the Hub City Spartanburgers text line. 844-326-3663. You can text that number or you can call that number. 844-326-3663. 3663 to jump on the air. You can tweet me at the Rob Brown Show, tweet the great one at Lonzo on Word, or tweet everybody up in here at the Fan Upstate, and do us a favor. Toss us a follow across all of our social medias if you want to do so. At Lonzo on Word, at the Rob Brown Show, that is on Facebook, Twitter, and the Gram. And the Fan Upstate, wherever a follow button is involved, we would love to have you. It is 7:01, almost 7:02 in the morning. You got about 58 minutes till you got to get to the office, till you got to get clocked in, logged in, ready to rock and roll to get through the hump day. Are we still doing that? We're not doing that anymore, are we? That's aged out.
You just did. I think that aged out like a decade ago, but I'm not sure. I don't remember when that commercial came out, actually.
Like a long time ago. And I hear it every now and then. Brad Evans does it on BetMGM tonight. Every now and then. Like every now and then that camel raises its camel head.
It's single hump. I think it was, or was it a double hump?
I do not remember.
I don't remember either.
I'm like trying to watch the commercial in my head. It's not. It's so old, I don't even remember it. I just remember that. We don't do that anymore, do we? Right? Like that joined the Budweiser frogs in the.
All right, now that is like 30 years old, 40 years old.
Yeah, that's
like
real
that.
Old.
Yeah, that was old. That's older than you, I think.
No, it's not. I'm older than you think I am, apparently. I was a kid.
Yeah, I'm losing track of how long time actually is. So, I mean, you know.
That and of course, which took the nation by storm. That one still gets a reference every now and then.
And the Dudley Boys kept that alive longer than the commercial did, I think.
I mean, to us as wrestling fans, yes. To the eyes of the nation, that commercial was just the epitome of That might have been the first, this is how you make something go viral, that like took over. That was the thing for a very long time. Anyway, you're going to get to work, you're going to take a break, you're going to talk sports, you need this. The water cooler cheat sheet, the top three sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office and start talking sports with your coworkers this morning. Once you do, this is what you'll be talking about. Let's dive right in with item number one. Four games across the National Basketball Association yesterday evening. The Indiana Pacers finish off the Milwaukee Bucks in the first round of the Eastern Conference playoffs, 119-118 in overtime. The Bucks, the Pacers trailed by 13 at the end of the first quarter. Were able to get all of those points back and then some more. In the third quarter, we're playing even with Milwaukee in the fourth. We're able to keep Giannis Antetokounmpo from knocking down a game winner, which is seconds left to play to force overtime. They actually trailed by as many as seven in the overtime period, did Indiana, but were able to gut out a couple of clutch points late and get the dub. Milwaukee sent home without Dame Lillard available last night. They did get some good minutes out of Gary Trent. They got some good minutes out of Bobby Portis Jr., but not enough good minutes as the Indiana Pacers get the dub in both the game and the series. The other series that was closed out last night, 120-89, Boston puts away Orlando 4-1 in the opening round. Look, team shot 55% from the floor, 54% from three. This is a Boston is without a doubt the basketball illustration right now of what happens when you have a smart, efficient basketball team that is bought in to what you want to do. It really is that simple. It's a good team. It's a smart team. It is an efficient team. And it is a team that is completely bought in to the vision of Joe Mazzulla. I like Orlando. It's a young team. It's a team that's pointed in the right direction. But at the end of the day, the Boston Celtics are the best team in the NBA, in my opinion. Two games that did not end series is last night, 106-103. The Pistons get one back on the New York Knicks. And more importantly, I think, snatch the momentum back in this series. It kind of felt like the Knickerbockers were on the verge of putting the Pistons away. They do still lead the series 3-2. Jalen Brunson had to check out of this game last night. He was on the sideline as the Knicks kind of wilted away. Brunson played 36 minutes before he had to go to the bench and just was unable to get anything going. 24 points from Cade Cunningham, 22 from Ausar Thompson last night. They got 14 off the bench from Dennis Schroeder, who was able to keep the plus-minus alive for the reserves. The Knicks had the momentum. Detroit took it back last night. I still think the Knicks are going to end up winning this series. What I am going to say is if the Knicks end up getting by Detroit, they're going to get hammered by Boston. I mean, they might win one game from Boston based on what I saw last night. And then 131-115 last night, the Nuggets knock off the Clippers. They now hold a 3-2 lead, have pushed the Clips to the brink of elimination. Just 13 points from Jokic, but he did have a triple-double with 10 boards and 12 assists in the contest last night. 43 points from Jamal Murray, who I know he's been banged up, and I know he's kind of been unable to really get any consistency going, but that was the game that the Nuggets have been waiting for out of Jamal Murray. They've been waiting for him to have that kind of night. He has that kind of night, and it gave Jokic the opportunity to kind of step back. Jokic only took 13 shots in this game last night. He, in games gone by, has been having to take 23, 24 field goals in a game, and the pressure's been on him. The pressure got relieved last night. They were able to just let Nikola Jokic play Nikola Jokic ball, which does not involve lifting up 35 shots a game. Give me 15. They did that last night. They got the win. Kawhi had 20. Zubac had 27 in the contest yesterday evening. James Harden had 11 on 3-9 from the floor. The Clips shot 53%, which should be enough to win. The Nuggets shot 56% and 52% from three. Everything I said about Boston was true about the Nuggets last night. We're going to talk some more NBA later on in the show as we are inching ever closer to round two of the NBA playoffs. But let's move on to item number two. Couple of NHL games went down last night in the quest for Lord Stanley's Cup. Toronto holds a 3-2 lead over the Senators, but Ottawa did not only get one back last night, much like Detroit, snatched momentum away from the Maple Leafs last night with a 4-0 dominant win last night. Omar had 29 saves on 29 shots against the Maple Leafs, could get nothing on the pipes last night. The Golden Knights get a 3-2 overtime win over the Minnesota Wild. Vegas does hold the series lead 3-2 in that one. The Oilers, 3-1 winners over the Kings. They take series control back, now up 3-2. But as a texter said earlier in the show, just tuned in, can we talk about my mother bleeping Canes? Yes, we can. 5-4 double overtime winners to eliminate the New Jersey Devils last night. The Cardiac Canes trailed 3-0 at the end of the first period. They had this game tied at 4 by the end of period number 2. They put 4 on the board in the second 20 minutes of play. Jersey would get one back. 4-4, we go to OT, nothing cooking. We go to double, and Sebastian Aho decides, I've had enough, I'm ready to go home, let's put this thing to bed. Gets himself a little wrister from the right side circle to close out the Jersey Devils. It was Peter Kochkov who was in the goal last night. Stopped 31 of 35 shots. You had goals last night from Jackson Blake and Taylor Hall, as well as Andrei Svechnikov, who followed up his hattie in the last game with another goal last night. Sebastian Aho playing the role of hero. Let me tell you what I love about this team. This team plays fast. This team plays aggressive. But this team plays on top of their skates. They do not get out ahead of themselves. They play disciplined. They earn themselves a number of power play opportunities last night, including a 3-on-2 advantage that allowed them to score the goal that would ultimately send them to the overtime period. This team's fun to watch. They play aggressive. They hit. They play on the forecheck as often as they can, but they don't get ahead of themselves. They don't play undisciplined hockey. They don't play reckless hockey. They play smart hockey that earns them power play opportunities. I'm going to need them to take more advantage of the power play opportunities because they let a lot, especially late in this game. They let a number of power plays turn into nothing. They've got to be more efficient when they have the extra man advantage, but they earn it. They earn it. In order to be efficient on the power play, you've got to earn the power play. And this team just keeps finding ways to bait Jersey into giving them one-man advantages. And they take advantage of it enough. 4-1, the Hurricanes moving on past the Jersey Devils. And finally, item number three. Got a few baseball stories that I'm going to wrap up all into one item. Number one, the New York Yankees have made history. They, for the second time, went back to back to back. Trent Grisham, Aaron Judge, Ben Rice all took Kyle Gibson yard. Why is that interesting? Because it was the first three at-bats of the game. Why is that interesting? The Yankees became the first team in Major League history to open a game with three consecutive dingers back on March 29th against Milwaukee when Goldschmidt, Bellinger, and Judge needed three pitches to hit home runs. When they did it to Gibson last night, they became the first team ever to do it twice in a single season. Three of the game's first five offerings all went out to right field, a 15-3 win for the Yankees last night. Number two, Jacob DeGrom back in the W category for the first time in 2 years. The two-time Cy Young Award winner has battled injuries and setbacks over and over, but he got the dub for the first time since 2023. Struck out seven over six scoreless for his first win in more than 2 years. He's pitched well enough to win in several other starts this season, but that team's just not good, or at least not as good as it should be. He gets his first dub last night. Former Atlanta Brave turned New York Met A.J. Minter, one of the top relievers for the surprising best team in baseball record-wise, is considering season-ending surgery. A.J. Minter, after all he did in Atlanta, hard guy to root against, even if he is a Met. He is seeking multiple opinions, but contemplating season-ending surgery to repair his left lat. The other option would be rest in rehab, which could open the door for him to return this season after an extended period, but if he comes back and aggravates that injury, it could be it could end up where he needs season-ending surgery that could potentially extend into next season. And then finally, the Atlanta Braves have won 9 out of 11 contests with an 8-2 win last night over the lowly and hapless Colorado Rockies. The Rockies are 4-25. If you think I'm apoplectic about the Atlanta Braves, imagine if I was a Colorado Rockies fan. Woof. 4-25, the Braves win 8-2 last night. A.J. Smith-Shawver picks up the win, his first on the year. He is 1-2, 5.1 innings pitched, allowed just 4 hits, 2 runs, both earned, 1 walk, 5 Ks in the effort. One of the only hits was a second inning dinger that he gave up to Toglia that scored the Rockies first and half of their runs in this contest last night. The Braves had 14 hits, second night in a row that they recorded 14 hits. Matty Ice Ice Baby Olsen went 3-4-5 from the dish. Ozzie Albies, 2-4. Sean Murphy, 2-5. Eli White went 2-4 from the plate. Would you look at that? When you hit the baseball, good things happen. When you consistently hit the baseball, you win games and series. The Bravos, winners of 9 of the last 11, now just one game away from being .500. They are back to third place in the NL East and still a full 2 games back of Philadelphia, who also got a win last night. We'll talk some more baseball later on in the broadcast. That is your water cooler cheat sheet. All of the sports stories that you need to know before you get to the office this AM. Let's talk some Braves baseball when we return. A lot of folks really excited about the direction Atlanta is pointed in right now, and I do not want to kill that enthusiasm. I don't care who you are. Winning 9 of 11 is impressive. Winning 9 of 11 is a very good thing. But I do want to tamper expectations. We'll talk about that when we come back here in just a minute. Lefty Tiger texted, said, any update on Smith-Shawver's throwing arm? There was last night after the game. I'll give you that and more coming.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Up on the Rob Brown Show in the Fan Upstate. The Atlanta Braves have won 9 of their last 11 games. They are now just one game below 500. The Phillies get a 7-6 walk-off win over the Nationals last night, so the Braves will stay 2 games back of Philadelphia in the NL East, and suddenly it does feel like a race. Just to be clear, they are 6.5 games off of the lead, but it obviously could be
with like 130 games left, right, or something like that.
That is correct. The Braves have played 29 games so far, so they are sitting on 130 whatever games left to play.
So you're saying it could go either way?
Absolutely, absolutely. I am also saying that, as I have pointed out a couple of times, you have 130 games left. You don't get to work under the assumption that a team like the Mets or the Phillies aren't going to stay on the same pace that they have been on. Like, this is the only sport. I do not know of another sport. And it doesn't matter how many games there are because everybody plays the same amount. It's not like you've got an extra 10 games to make it up if you're not there. This is the only sport where early in the season people are like, it doesn't matter if you win, which is what that phrase is. You're effectively saying, oh, it's April. Doesn't matter if you win. Yeah, it does.
No, I'm looking at percentages of game versus, you know, games played and the fact that you have plenty of time to not necessarily overtake who's in first place, although you do have plenty of time to do that, but just to catch up. And I am, yesterday you said you're not complacent. You're not optimistic. Are you okay?
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine.
I mean, are you okay with it? So you're in a much better state than you were like 2 weeks ago.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
Without a doubt. I went from rage for the early part of the season. I was driven within like a week.
It was record panic. It really was.
How could it not be? You lost 7 games in a row. I mean, I don't care if it's April or October. You lost 7 games in a row. And that's not good. That's good. That's Rockies stuff. That's White Sox stuff. That's not team that Bob Nightingale told me preseason he expected to be on pace with the LA Dodgers. Good. That's White Sox bad.
Have the Braves ever been so bad consistently that they were considered a bad team?
Yes. After the dynastic years of the 90s. There were some years the Braves were atrocious. Just could not get it right. It wasn't lengthy, but it absolutely happened.
I'm asking because when I started in radio, I was running Braves games. And if I recall, they were doing pretty good. It was like 97, 98, something like that.
Yes, those were the dynasty days. Those were the dynasty days, and those were the, those were the glory days.
Skip Carey and those guys, yeah. I have fond memories as far as that goes because that's how I started in radio. And I just don't remember them being so bad that you need to panic so early.
Those were the glory days. And, you know, look, you got your World Series in 2021. There was a hot minute there where I was like, yeah, we're never going to get another one. We blew it all in the 90s. We're never getting another one. We got one more. It was great. But as I've said multiple times as a New Orleans Saints fan, I said forever, oh, if I get one, I'll be fine. I'll die happy. Turns out, nah, I want more.
Yeah,
I want more.
You can't really compare those two teams, though, can you?
I mean, I can't compare the teams. I can compare the feeling of watching your team win a championship.
Though. Okay, all right.
You know what I mean? Like,
right. Did you just say fella?
No.
Okay, because where you said fella.
No. Right. I mean, I do. I have worked fella into the lexicon more, but no, I did not. Because
if you do, I'll have to go find it.
I think that when I look at what I've seen in the last 11 games out of this team, It is not that there is no excitement winning 9 of 11. It feels nice, like, especially compared to what this team was doing, or perhaps, to state it better, not doing to open up the season. I mean, it's obviously you prefer 9 of 11 to, 2 of 11. But I think what I can point out here is some changes got made, right? You've changed a couple of guys in. You sent Orlando Arcia out of the way a little bit, and I know Orlando got dinged up a little bit, but I also think it's pretty obvious he's struggled a little bit from the dish. You've went and found some guys that are able to play and be. First off, you freed up Matt Olson a little bit. You freed up Marcelo Zuna a little bit. That has been a massive help, and that's something that you desperately needed to do. You went and found guys like Adams, who are filling in the middle of the lineup and doing so exceptionally well. And I'll tell you, I think the biggest thing you're looking for here, if you're an Atlanta fan, is that these couple of games that you're getting W's in are confidence builders, both from the plate, more importantly, from the guys in the middle of your relief efforts. Yeah, I've got to know that I can get a little bit better out of De Los Santos. He went 1.2, gave up one hit, no runs, K'd one. Montero came in, one inning pitch, no hits, no runs. Blewett came in, one inning, one hit, no hits, no runs, no walks. These are the numbers that I am looking for to say, all right, now you know how it feels. Yeah, it's against the Rockies. Yeah, the Rockies are hot garbage. They may let the White Sox record for most losses in a modern era season stand for 1 year. It's trash. But man, we got a phrase in baseball and basketball. Sometimes you just got to see one go down. Sometimes you just got to see one go through the rack so you can feel what it feels like when the lid comes off. And that's kind of what I'm hoping this three-game set, which, by the way, coming in, I said even if the Braves aren't good, anything less than a sweep of Colorado is unacceptable. Anything less than a sweep is unacceptable. This team is historically bad. It is made up of a bunch of absolute nobodies with respect to the nobodies. It's made up of nobodies. This team is historically bad. Anything less than a sweep is just not acceptable. Well, you're sitting on the verge of the sweep. The sweep would get you to 500. 500 is, I mean, it's not good. It's not good. But it's a hell of a lot better than where you were.
It's also not bad. It's like right in the middle, Rob.
It's much like everything else. It is relative to everything else. If the Rockies were 500, they'd be ready to throw a damn parade. The Braves are not the Rockies. The Braves were the second shortest odd in the National League to win the pennant this year. The Braves were like the fourth shortest odds in Major League Baseball to win the World Series this year. So relative to expectations, it's one thing, right? Relative to expectations, the expectations on this team were justifiably high. And so when they're not hitting the mark, that's going to feel worse than a team like Colorado not hitting the mark. But finish this thing with the dub, get the sweep, get to 500, and use this as a jump-off point. Use this as a reset point. Because the Braves have themselves a very interesting handful of games coming up. You have got this set against Colorado. You got Thursday off. And then it's Friday, Saturday, Sunday against Yamamoto, against Sasaki. I don't know who they're going to throw in the Sunday game because they got a bunch of guys on the DH or on the DL right now from their rotation. Ladies and gentlemen, the LA Dodgers are coming to Atlanta this weekend. You have an opportunity here. You're not going to sweep LA, but you have an opportunity here against the Dodgers to get a little bit of revenge. You have an opportunity here to get right. They are coming off of a three-game set against the Marlins and a three-game set against the Pirates before that. Paul Skeens dusted them in the first matchup, but they've scored a bunch of runs since then. However, it took them 10 to beat the Marlins two nights ago. They put 15 up on them last night, but it took them 10 to beat the Marlins the night before that. Against Pittsburgh, Skeens dusted them. They won game two by 4 runs. They won game three by 7 runs. They're still a very good baseball team. But you're back at the crib. You're coming off of a confidence-building road trip. How many times did Mark Benetti, voice of the Greenville Swamp Rabbits, tell us during the hockey season, and I agree it's true in baseball as well, how many times did he tell us, when your team is floundering, when your team is struggling, sometimes a road trip can be the antidote, can be the cure. Sometimes a road trip can put you in the right mindset. You get away, you only got each other to lean on and spend time with, you got each other to pick each other up. The Braves need to come out from this three-game set at Colorado. Finish the sweep tonight, get the bats hot, because sometimes you just got to see one go down. Carry it against LA. By the way, Lefty Tiger asked for an update on AJ Smith-Shawver. Update is, after he took a liner off of what he described as the meaty part of the forearm last night, there was no structural damage done that was reported. It was like right above the wrist. He said it was like right here. The meaty part, which if you're me and Lonzo, is just all the parts.
Yeah, I was having trouble finding it. I was looking. Yeah, okay.
It's just all meat, baby. He is apparently fine. They will run some more tests today to find out if there was anything missed last night. He said he feels fine, a little sore. He took a baseball at 110 miles an hour off the arm. That ain't going to feel great. But Snit said he expects maybe an extra day of rest and he should be good to go. We'll verify that today. So that's the update from AJ Smith-Shawver last night, who earned his first win on the season. Now let's come back and talk. I don't know. What do you want to get to? A little more basketball because it's NBA playoff season? The Rob Brown Show rolls on. The Fan Upstate.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to ExpressPros.com to find your location. That's ExpressPros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
You think North Carolina's regretting their decision to hire Bill Belichick yet? Did you see this? This thing is like the story of the internet the last couple of days. Hoodie sat down to do an interview with CBS a couple of days ago. And that interview was, I don't know how else to say it, overseen, monitored, supervised, chaperoned. So there's like a lot of different ways to say it. By Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend.
Sometimes you need a handler present when you get older because you don't know. I mean, you know, your filter goes away and things like that. You know.
So, I like, tongue in cheek, yeah, but also, is it though? Like, is that really a joke? If you missed the interview, maybe intentionally, I apologize for bringing it up. But I'm genuinely interested in how this is going to play out from the standpoint of North Carolina football. Because it feels to me, and part of it is because Hoodie is there. But the last couple of years, and this is, I think, ultimately why Mac Brown got let go from the job. It has felt to me like the University of North Carolina football program was on the cusp of maybe elevating a tier, maybe moving up a tier in the eyes of the college football landscape. And I think that if you're an Atlantic Coast Conference fan, you've got to kind of be interested in this as well. Because what happens to the future of the conference? What happens to the teams that are within it, the teams that are potentially moving out of it, could be influenced by this. If the Hoodie thing works out, and he is a good college football coach, which I am not betting on, but if he is, if I'm wrong, and he turns out to be a stud, North Carolina elevates a couple of tiers, ACC elevates alongside them. Again, you're never going to catch the SEC or the Big Ten, unfortunately for you, but you could get to a high enough status that maybe you're more competitive with the Big 12 to become the EEC, the everybody else conference. On top of that, it's just weird. At one point during the interview, Jordan Hudson, the 24-year-old girlfriend of 70-plus-year-old Bill Belichick, was accused by CBS of being a constant presence during the interview. And at one point, the interviewer asked Bill Belichick, says, you know, people are really curious about how you guys met. And from off screen, the 24-year-old girlfriend says, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. And Hoodie says, yeah, we're not going to talk about that. To the point that folks on the internet are like genuinely worried about Bill Belichick.
Okay. All right. So my question here is if that's his wife of 35 years and let's say she's in her 60s, he's in his 70s, and she's doing that. Is it still a story?
No, it's not. But it is when he's in his 70s and she's 24, came out of nowhere, and oh, by the way, forget controlling the interview. Is controlling, at least to some degree, the PR machine of the football team. She's running the PR for the football team. The social media connections of the football team go through her. Press availability for the football team, from what I understand, goes through her. I'm not set. Listen, I've said this a time or two in this segment. Bill Belichick's in his 70s. I do not think it is unreasonable. I do not think it is outlandish for there to be someone that is running the PR machine for the North Carolina football team that's not 74-year-old Bill Belichick.
So are you bringing into question, are you trying to say he's not coherent, he's not capable enough to make decisions, that he needs a nurse or someone, he needs care? Because other than the age thing and it being an overbearing person who he's with, I'm not quite sure it's as big of a story as people are making it out to be.
I think for me, the way I'm looking at it, and maybe this is a bigger story if this is Ohio State, Georgia, Alabama. But I think to me the takeaway of all this is if this is the level of control that this 24-year-old woman has, and I'm
not being mean. Is it because she's a woman and she has control over things?
I think.
Because there's some people who could look at what you're saying and think that that's what you're trying to guide it towards.
I would like to think that anybody who's listened to this show for more than 7 minutes is very aware of the fact that not only am I pro females, women, I am pro diversity in sports.
Well, just because you say it doesn't mean it's true, and I'm not saying it's not, but I can say that I'm a lot of things. I'm just pointing out, it seems like the focus of the story is that a woman is doing things, not only a woman, but a younger woman.
I don't think that's the focus of the story.
Why now, is it? If she was 50, 60 years old, this would not be a story. This has to do with her age and the age discrepancy.
Okay. So let me address the couple of things you've brought up here. Number one, as far as my position on women in sports, no. I am pro-diversity in sports. I am pro-women in sports. I think I could ask Savannah and Lulu and Emily and the scores of women that I have always prioritized.
You don't need to defend yourself.
I am
talking about the media as a whole, the sports media as a whole.
Hang on, which you are a part of. I know.
I'm trying to get your point of view as to why this is such a big story.
Okay. So let me try to address that. Sorry, my stuff is just like
you need to caress it.
I'm being flashed over here.
Don't be so forceful.
I'm not being forceful. I'm just plugging a USB in. Okay. Well, no
light.
Sorry.
Would you like the other one?
So let me. No, I'm good. Let me say a couple of things.
I'm here for you. I can just turn it around and turn it on.
No, it's good. I appreciate it. Let me address a couple of things. I understand that you are placing me as the figurehead for the media and that take as the royal you, not you, Rob Brown. But I am going to defend me, Rob Brown. No, I am very pro-women in sports. I am pro-diversity in sports. I have always utilized my platform to the best of my ability to open up more opportunity for more voices in sports, even if it is only on the platform of this show. That's a footprint. Now, as far as is it because of her age? Yeah, partially. She's 24 years old. Now, that's not the end of the world.
So it makes it look like a 24-year-old woman is not capable of doing the things that she's doing.
There are general managers in the NFL that are barely older than her. There are 32-year-old general managers. It is not even about the age. Here's what it is about. What it's about is you hired, if you are North Carolina, Bill Belichick to come in and run your football program. Do I think it is a publicity stunt? Yes, I do. I don't think that North Carolina thinks that Bill Belichick's the guy that is going to elevate them to, oh, would you look at that? The Tar Heels are in the college football playoff.
All right. And I disagree with you. And I will continue to disagree with you. He is a great football coach. And with, as we've talked before, with the direction that college football is going, he is the perfect person to come in and bring in a GM and show them how the next generation of college football is going to be run.
So we're going to disagree on that. One of us will end up being right. One of us will end up being wrong. You brought in a 74-year-old guy, and I say this respectfully, exactly what South Carolina did with Paul Maneri for their baseball team. It's not going great, Bob. Okay, it's going really poorly right now. This isn't an age thing. It is very simply a generational thing. If you bring in a 74-year-old guy to try to talk to an 18-year-old kid, it's going to be a struggle. It just is. There's just a difference in language. It's a different language. But the thought that I have here is for a dude who was during his time at New England, and every general manager that worked for him, I think, has said this. Bob Kraft, the owner of the Patriots, has said this. Hoodie ran everything. They ran everything. Everything that happened connected to the football program ran through him. And it's not happening now. It's not happening. Now, maybe there's an advantage here. Maybe there's a reason for it. Maybe Hoodie looked and said, well, Rob Brown is right. I can't really communicate with perfect efficiency with 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. You know who can? A 24-year-old lady. A 24-year-old gal is going to have an easier time communicating with the youth of America than I, a 64-year-old old enough to be her grandfather, is. But see, then my thought would be, then just hire one of them. But to bring in your 24-year-old girlfriend, who is apparently a pretty high level of almost unilateral control over the public relations image of both the football program and you, to me, and again, if they come out and they go 8-4, 9-3 this year, make some noise in the ACC, maybe I come back to the segment and I go, yeah, I mean, maybe Bill knew what he was going. Maybe he knew what he was doing. I'm not banking on that. If it doesn't happen, then I think we get to circle back around and look at this and go, why in the world has Bill Belichick, a guy who was known for ruling the Patriots with an iron fist, for being in charge of who spoke, when, how, etc., etc. And basically, it came down to, we're going to do the bare minimum of the NFL's rules. We're going to do the Marshawn, I'm just here so I don't get fined. Why all of the sudden does he have this 24-year-old lady who's standing in the background telling him which questions he's going to answer and not answer? It's just a weird vibe for a major educational institution and their athletic department to hand the keys over to a football program at a point in time where it does, at least to me, feel like they are ready to transition to the next level of college football. For Bill Belichick to suddenly go in a different direction than the Bill Belichick of decades of success, even if it is at a different level, and to cede that control over to a 24-year-old woman who has never been connected to football before. Like, maybe, I don't even think, for the record, I don't believe she's been connected to public relations, right? Now, if this is a 24-year-old woman, and she started her own PR firm at 17, and she represents multinational corporations, and she's been in charge of that celebrity and that rock and roll star and this football coach and that guy and this guy and whatever, then it's, even then, it's a different conversation. But that's not true. She's literally a college student he apparently met on an airplane one day, and now she's in PR control. For the record, have I not given the same level of criticism to Nicole Tepper over the years, right? Who is David Tepper's age and has the same relationship to him. It's not about the age. It's not about the gender. It is exclusively about the fact that at least a noticeable and broadcastable level of control over the football program has been ceded to a 24-year-old woman who has never been involved in football or public relations. Bill met her on an airplane. They hit it off with a 50-plus year age gap.
All right,
and now she's running the football team?
A couple of things really well. I mean, she was a cheerleader, so she has been around football. I know how, but she's been around football. I looked it up. Jordan Hudson is an entrepreneur and former college cheerleader with a background in cosmetology. She's also the executive director of Trouble Cub Enterprises, a company that specializes in financial literacy, education, beauty consulting, and beauty contracting.
There you go. So that's all the knowledge I need. Just make her the GM.
No.
So here's the thing.
If I cut it off at financial literacy education, you were like, oh, okay. But as soon as I throw in the beauty and stuff, then...
No,
then
incorrect. That is incorrect.
You can look at the look
that
on is, your face
that
when
is,
it...
Okay, let me say what I was looking at. When that company start? When was that company founded?
I don't know. I just,
$10
just,
says it's after she met Bill Belichick. $10 says, you know, do you know how easy it is to be an entrepreneur when somebody gives you millions of dollars? It's a hell of a lot easier. I got a dollar to a donut says Trouble Cub started after she started dating Bill Belichick. I'd be an entrepreneur too if my wife was worth $500 million and just said, yeah, go do whatever you want. I have all the money in the world. Yeah, I'd be an entrepreneur too. Entrepreneur, when you have a backer worth hundreds of millions of dollars, just means guy who gets to do whatever he wants. Sounds nice.
It looks like it started in 2021, unless I'm wrong. So it's been around for a few years. I don't know how successful it is, but that's not my expertise if I actually have one.
The point here is, there is zero connection to football. No connection to football.
Except for cheerleading.
She was a college cheerleader.
Which
fire Bill, make her the head coach. She was a college cheerleader.
I'm not going to act like a cheerleader doesn't have connection to football.
Connection, yes.
Yeah, okay, all right.
Connection, yes. Sure, she was at football games. Next thing you know, Lonzo, are you going to make the argument that the trombone player should be the general manager? Because he's been at as many football games. So,
well, one's talking sports right now. So I mean.
Correct. What am I not doing? Running the North Carolina football program.
I just don't see why this is a story. And you're getting really angry over this.
It's a story because.
And I hope not only that they win the ACC, I hope they make the playoffs.
Not only.
I'm not going to say eat crow because I never understood that. But having to come back and say you were wrong, I will enjoy that. If I'm wrong, I'm wrong all the time. What do I know?
Not only, listen, it is a story because this institution put Bill Belichick.
You're not getting the point, Andrew. You're not getting the point. It's this is what it looks like, how people are approaching this story, most of which who say, oh, I'm not against females in this. I'm not against females in that. But it looks like that's the reason why this is a story. That's the whole thing. I can care less either way. He's either going to be a good coach or he's not. This is a story because she's 24 and she's hot and this has a pro and guys seem to have a problem with this. I don't know why.
Okay. Every word you just said is wrong.
It's my opinion, which I'm paid to give. Doesn't mean it's wrong.
No. It's functionally wrong.
No, it's not.
Okay. Here's why it's wrong. No. I'm addressing it. I know we're late, and I'm gonna take 30 seconds to address what you just said.
Yeah, I know how long your 30 seconds is.
I'm gonna take 60 seconds to address what you said. Number one, again, Liberob the woke warrior has no issue with women in sports. I encourage it. I make room for it. So that's wrong. Number two, it has nothing to do with the fact that she is a 24-year-old female. In fact, I think there's advantages to having a 24-year-old female because she's probably going to be better at talking to football players than 74-year-old Bill Belichick. Number three, she was a cheerleader, for God's sakes. Okay? Stop. Number three, the reason it is a story is not because of her age, not because of her gender, neither of which I care about. The reason it is a story is because North Carolina is paying Bill Belichick tens of millions of dollars to come in and run their football program the way he ran the Patriots. And step number one is, here's a 24-year-old beautician I met on an airplane. She's effectively our general manager now. Is that what they paid for? I'm going to suspect no. That is problematic. This isn't Sports Flash.
Not just a beautician, she's also an entrepreneur.
Yeah, me too.
The Atlanta Braves knocked off the Colorado Rockies 8-2 last night to earn their ninth win in 11 games. Atlanta had 14 hits for the second night in a row, including three from Matt Olson and a pair from Sean Murphy and Eli White. The Braves struck out only twice in the contest. The Gamecocks baseball team Got back in the win column with a 5-3 victory over Charleston Southern last night. The Buccaneers scored three in the final two frames, but Brendan Sweeney closed out the save. Jarvis Evans got the win, allowing just two hits through 5.2 innings. The Indiana Pacers closed out the Milwaukee Bucks last night with a 119-118 overtime win. Tyrese Halliburton had 26, and Miles Turner added 21 in the win. And the Detroit Pistons climbed within a game of New York with a 106-103 win over the Knicks. Cade Cunningham had 24, and Asur Thompson had 22 in the win. Hour number three of the Rob Brown Show coming up next, I think.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Making financial decisions shouldn't feel like picking a TV show. Too many options, too much hype, and no way to know what's actually good. NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast cuts through the clutter. Their finance journalists break through real-world money decisions with clear, research-backed insights. From investing to home buying to credit cards, the nerds help you navigate major financial decisions with confidence. Leave TV to fate. Leave your next financial move to the nerds. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.